Today, I'm going to set before you a truth that untold scores of Christians are ignorant of. A few months back, I sat in a fellowship and the person sat next to me, and this person was deeply troubled. This person had spirits, demons. And so I was aware of this, and as I sat there, I was speaking in tongues. Then the spirit did a stupid thing. It started to growl at me. And when spirits growl at me, I don't like that. So I figured I got real close to the person then and scooted right up next to them. And as I began to engage with conversation, I started to talk to the individual because I knew the individual needed healing on the inside. He needed what we call deep level healing. And in order to help this person, I needed to address what was feeding, empowering the spirits in them. I referred to them as rats and garbage. I referred to a spirit as a rat. But a rat is not around unless there's garbage to feed on. So what I wanted to do was to get rid of the garbage, because then when you help the person, it's much easier. Well, as I began to talk and question the individual, the spirit spoke to me out of his mouth in its pride and its ego, and the spirit told me that this line of questioning will not help. That's what the spirit told me. You see, because the devil had previously convinced this individual of a lie that's propounded in Christianity. And it was a lie most likely spoken from the pulpit, from a well-meaning Christian minister, I'm sure. So the person proceeded to misquote the scripture to me to dismiss the possibility that they had any spirits working in their life. And if you go to Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to show you the scripture that the Spirit spoke back to me and misquoted. This is what the Spirit said. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13b. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. See? And that was the scripture that it spoke back to me to convince me that I didn't know what I was talking about, and that to follow this line of questioning would be useless. See? Then he instructed me that there was no profit in going down that road, because the Bible says that we are to forget the past. To which I replied, "Oh, how's that working out for you?" Because this person has been in bondage for years and years and years, and will continue to be in bondage for years and years and years, because of pride and wrong teaching and preconceived ideas and prejudices that they hold in their life. False pride in a believer is never good. Never. It's okay to be proud, but false pride is never good. Most people are astonished to learn that that is not at all what the scripture in Philippians 3 is saying. Philippians 3 verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Now, the immediate context and common sense would instruct you that Paul did not forget things which were behind. Because if you want to say this had something to do with his previous life before he was a Christian, he goes and he names some of those things in the verses just before. circumcised the eighth day, such and such, such and such. And if he forgot those things, how could he speak them? I do not particularly believe that it's addressing that in this context. I believe that it could be part of it. But what I believe Paul was talking about was, as his Christian life was, he was putting those things behind him, continuing to move forward because he had not reached the goal yet. The Greek word for forget, there is the Greek word, and the one that's used here, it has different meanings. This Greek word means to simply forget. However, there's a different meaning for this Greek word, and it has the force of to leave behind. To leave behind. Strong's gives a secondary definition of to no longer care for. To no longer care for. The Bible expository commentary writes with regards to this word forget in Philippians 3:13. The unsaved person is controlled by the past, but the Christian running the race looks towards the future. Imagine what would happen in a race if the charioteers or the runners started to look behind them. It's bad enough for the plowman to look back, but for charioteers or a runner to do so, it could possibly mean collision and serious injury. Forgetting those things which are behind. Please keep in mind, this is in Bible terminology, to forget here does not mean to fail to remember. Apart from someone who's suffering from being senile, hypnosis, or a brain malfunction, and I'm going to add a demon in here, no mature person can forget what has happened to them in the past. We may wish that we could erase certain bad memories, but we cannot. In this context, to forget in the Bible means to no longer be influenced by or affected by. That's what it means, this word. That's the force of it. To be no longer influenced by the past or affected by the past. God says that he's not going to remember your iniquities. He doesn't conveniently develop a bad memory. What he means is he's no longer going to hold them against you, that nothing can stand in front of you, all cleansed in Christ. So forgetting those things which are behind does not suggest the impossible feat of mental or psychological gymnastics by which we are to erase the sins and mistakes of the past. It simply means that we break the power of the past by living for the future. By living for the future. We cannot change the past, but we can change the meaning of the past. There were things in Paul's past that could have been weights that held him down, but he used them as inspiration to speed him ahead. The events did not change, but his understanding of them changed. Then they go on and they quote the example of Joseph. And the second time he revealed himself unto his brothers. He didn't hold a grudge against them because he looked ahead and he knew what God had. Some Christian runners today are being detracted by the success of their past and not the failures. And this is just as bad. The things which are behind must be set aside, and the things which are before must take their place. Okay? That's what they say. Now I'm going to tell you what I say, and experience in ministry says. If you teach someone to forget the past, and they try with all their heart, and they fail, they begin to think that something's wrong with them. And this just adds more pressure to their life, more problems to their life. See? There's something wrong, but it's not with the believer. the something that is wrong is with the misinstructed or underinstructed preachers who teach people forget the past. In the beginning, God created us to remember. We were made to remember, not to forget. Exodus 13:3 says, Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by the strength of the hand of the Lord, he brought you out from this place. Exodus 28, remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Numbers 15:39, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. What does Ecclesiastes 12:1 say? Remember what? Now thy creator, right? When you take the time to work the word of God and the scriptures with regards to the word forget, you will quickly learn that people who usually forget are on the wrong side of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Verse 23, take heed unto yourself, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and you make graven images or likenesses of anything which the Lord had forbidden thee. Deuteronomy 6:12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth from the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy 9:7a simply says, remember and forget not. Psalm 103:2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Forget not all his benefits. You see, to forget is the process of accidentally or deliberately failing to remember people, events, or ideas. Scripture rebukes those who forget the past work of God, the past work of God in history, in their lives, or people who neglect their present responsibilities towards God that they put aside in order to please themselves. Now, people forget for a lot of reasons. Okay. Forgetting can be a deliberate action on purpose. 2 Peter 3, verse 5 said, for this they willingly are what? Ignorant of. They were willingly ignorant of. Okay? It doesn't mean that they didn't understand. It's just that they, on purpose, deliberately. Forgetting can be caused by idolatry. Judges chapter 3, verse 7 says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam. They served Balaam and the groves. Hosea chapter 2, verse 13 says, and I will visit upon her, speaking of Israel, the days of Balaam, when she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with ear carvings, or her carvings, and her jewels, and went after her lovers, and forgot me. See, because Israel was involved in idolatry. And when you get involved in idolatry, those spirits that function in that sin cause you to forget the word of God. You can forget because you're a proud person. Pride can cause you to forget. In Psalm 10, verse 4, it says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. In 2 Chronicles, there's an amazing record about a king, Uriah. And it says in verse 16 of chapter 26, but when he was strong, talking about the king, he got cocky, he got puffed up. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. for he transgressed against the Lord God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. You don't do that. That wasn't his job. And I was telling Kim yesterday, when I was reading that record, it said that the high priest took, I think it said 80 other priests with them. But this is what it says. It says 80 other priests, valiant men. In other words, they weren't just some wimp librarian priest. These guys are badasses. You have to edit that, honey. And they went in, 80 of them. And so they're going to, and he got cocky. And then, you know, he started to get leprosy. And then finally, when he realized, this is not a place that I want to be, he got butt out of there. But those priests were going to kick butt because he didn't belong there. Look at Proverbs 31, please. Proverbs 31, records a lot of wonderful things. But, you know, we saw that pride can cause you to forget. Idolatry can cause you to forget. You can be deliberate in forgetting this sort of thing, right? Drinking can cause you to forget. Proverbs 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? Son of my womb, son of my vows. So, it's not only her son, because sometimes you can say to a person's son, let me explain this to you. It's the son of her womb. It's the son of her vows. You understand? This is her kid. Give not thy strength unto women, nor the ways to that which destroyeth kings. You know what that means? In this day and in this time, that means if you're a married man, you know what you do? You stay put with your wife. You don't be going pawing around on other women. And I'm equating a king as to a leader. And how many leaders have fallen because they have not taken heed to this advice, either by drinking or by sex or by drugs or by whatever. But specifically, mommy told him, don't give your strength unto women, nor the ways to that which destroyeth kings. You got to understand that. Greater than me, greater than you have fallen. Look at the greatest, richest king in the whole wide Bible. I don't know if he's the greatest, but he was the richest, right? Who was he? Did he give his strength unto women?
Yes.
What happened? He fell, right? See, you don't tread on land. You shouldn't go there. And ladies, let me explain something to you. Married ladies and single ladies, God will never send you someone else's husband. Okay, just so in case you're thinking, never. Do you understand that? Never. God will, unless they're divorced, but current, dead. We're talking about people that are breathing, Cratchit. Ladies, God will never send you someone else's husband, period. Okay? Except for the aforementioned reasons. And if you want a list of those reasons, see Cratchit. She will be glad to supply them. It is not for kings, Lemuel, verse 4. It is not for kings to what?
Drink wine.
Nor for princes, strong what?
Drink.
Lest they drink and what?
Forget
the law. And not only with that, they will pervert the judgment of any that are what?
Afflicted.
Hosea 4:11 says, whoredom and wine, new wine, take away the heart. You see? You will never rise up to be the man or woman that God has called you to be if you are given to drink, drugs, or illicit sex. And it would be a pathetic and heartbreaking revelation if one day you stood before the Lord and He told you that I had called you into a work. However, your drinking and your pleasures, whatever they may be, kept you from recognizing and accepting my invitation. God doesn't want us to forget. He wants us to remember. You see? How do you remember? Well, you change your focus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto who?
Jesus.
Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You see, this is what Paul was saying. He didn't obtain yet. He didn't get there. But he forgot those things which were behind, whether they were past successes or past failures. He wasn't living on them. You understand? You can't live on that. He pressed forth, and that word pressed forth is another term in the Bible talking about a runner. And what it means, literally, it means to stretch forth with outstretched neck, because that's the way a runner would win the race if he was close. He pressed forth, he stretched forward, and his eyes were focused on the goal, and the goal was Jesus Christ. See? That's the goal. Forgetting the past is to no longer be influenced or controlled or affected by it. That's what it means. And I'm telling you how important this is, because this is how perverted it gets. That young man had the ability to sit and get ministered to and set free. But he quoted the Bible because he thought he knew everything. And he said, and guess what? He walked out of there just as in much bondage and just as many spirits that he did when he walked in. Multitudes of people today, saved and unsaved, suffer the devastating effects of unhealed memories. Those unhealed memories sabotage those people in the present. By these unresolved memories, they are ambushed over and over again when they try to move forward. Like an anchor, these unresolved memories hold many back from moving ahead and being their best for God. Being their best for God. Now, you'll always have the memory. A memory is a historical container that holds past events. Deliverance from the torment and suffering that come from these bad memories lie in when they are revisited and Jesus is allowed to heal the hurt. Once this is done, you will still have the memory, the historical container, but its ability to cause you harm will have been rendered inactive by Jesus Christ. Like an extinct volcano, the memory will still be there, but it'll be harmless, never able to erupt to harm you again. This requires ministry and deep level healing, but freedom is available. See? Listen, if you've tried to forget the past, and like I told that young man, how's that working for you? It wasn't working. Okay? Maybe you too have been taught, forget the past, forget the past, forget the past. That's BS. You can't forget the past. Okay? Unless something's going on up here. You can't forget the past. But what you can do is you can render it harmless and ineffective in the present. Okay? Now, every one of you have been affected by the past. Every one of you has preconceived ideas and preconceived prejudices in this room, whether you think you do or not, for all you skeptical ones. So let me help you out here, okay? What do you think of when I say the word Democrat? Don't say it. What do you think of when I say the word Republican? Don't say that either. Okay? But the proof that those thoughts just flipped up in your mind show you that you have preconceived prejudice and ideas and have been affected by the past. And the past is causing you to misjudge the future and or the present. It affects the present. Because whether you believe it or not, there are good, God-loving, country-serving Democrats. And whether you believe it or not, there are good, God-loving, country-serving Republicans. But just because you got this thing lodged in your mind, okay, this is the way you view and this is the way you respond. And you want to know something? Most of you view and most of you respond to those words without giving it a second thought. It's like a pair of sunglasses. You put them on, and everything you look at and you view, it's tinted by the shade of those sunglasses. Okay? For a woman, if she's been hurt and cheated on in a past relationship, unless that's dealt with, she will bring that into the present, and that will sabotage her present relationship. For a man, if he's been lied to and cheated on in a past relationship, and unless that's dealt with, he will bring that into the present, and he will accuse whether a person is guilty or innocent because of the feelings that go along with it. Okay? You all came from a ministry that, whether you realize it or not, was legalistic. You all came from a ministry that, whether you realize it or not, we have the corner on truth. And don't read anybody else's literature. Don't read anybody else's books. This is what the word says. This is what the word means. You all came from a ministry that, whether you realize it or not, instilled in you pride. And many of you, the spirit of pride. And cockiness. And sarcasm. And that, some of you still bring into the present. You see? And when you hear something, it reminds you of something that you heard so-and-so say. And so now you're going to accuse whoever stands behind this lectern of being the same person or the same heart or the same motive that so-and-so says. That's affected by the past, whether you realize it or not. That's an unresolved memory. That's a memory that is active in your heart. And what it's doing is it's sabotaging your present. And whether it's me or anybody else that's up here, and if they say a cliche that triggers that memory, and I want to tell you something about the brain. The brain is a computer, and the brain can consciously or subconsciously access any of those memories at will. And it doesn't have to be your will. All right? I've told you many different stories where I've had the opportunity to set people free. See? The one I'll tell you again is about the woman. Her husband would come up behind her while she was at the sink. He put his arms around her, and she'd freak out. And the reason why she freaked out is when we got into ministering to that woman, we found out that she was raped, touched in the wrong way, and the way she was attacked was from behind. And what she had was called a body memory. And when her husband did that, her husband's intention wasn't to rape her. Her husband's intention was to show how much love and affection he has for her. But the body memory accessed that category of the brain and went to that historical container of the brain, flipped it up in her mind, and immediately she was reliving the horror of that rape scenario. Okay? I've showed you this scar many times. I told you how I got this scar. And I told you about the hurt and everything. But see, the scar's healed now. Like a dormant or an extinct volcano. This is healed. I can touch this scar. I can use this scar as a teaching illustration. This scar causes me no pain whatsoever. I told you a lot of times how I stole Carmen's car when I was younger. And a car thief. Right? I feel no condemnation about that. I feel no guilt about that. I feel nothing about it. You know why? Because God healed that memory. Carmen knows about it. Right? And when I say those things because I can say it freely and not have a worry and to care about it. Now, did I forget the memory? No. Did I forget how we took it? No. I didn't forget any of that. See? But what I did forget, in biblical terms, is its power to affect me in the present. It does not affect... I can look him dead in the eye and say, I love you. And not feel, you know? Why is that? Because that sin has not only been forgiven, but it's been healed. There's a difference. You understand? There's a difference between being forgiven and you being healed inside. All right? There's some people that I could say right now and mention names right now, and you guys would have bad feelings about them. You know why you have bad feelings about them? Because you haven't dealt with that. You know how people deal with them sometimes? This is how they deal with them sometimes. Out of sight, out of mind. That's how they deal with them. But that's not the way to deal with it. The way to deal with it is to understand it. Look at Jesus Christ on the cross. You want a good example of this, of healing the hurt? The Master. What did he say? Father, forgive them. Why? For they don't know what they're doing. You know, a lot of times people just don't know what they're doing. And you got to understand that. They just don't know what they're doing. Thus, you have the problem. And then you got someone saying to you, forget the past. Well, okay, that's easy for you to say, but that's not what the Bible's teaching. God designed your brain. He designed it to remember. And when people forget, like I said, usually they're on the wrong side of God. What happened to Eve when she forgot? Right? And Adam. And you know what? It is possible that as you stay in the Word and you grow further away from the event, that somebody will say something to you and say, I don't even remember that. That is a possibility, okay? But don't count on that. What you can count on is that I was there. This is the best way I do it when I screw up. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Screwed up, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And that's it. Not in a cocky way, but just sometimes you got to sit. Sometimes you got to talk to people. You know, if I always look at Virginia and I'm always thinking, you know, a bad thing, well, I can go through my whole Christian existence sitting next to her and living that lie. The right thing to do would to seek ministry, to either talk with her or get with someone who understands these things and the way they work and get them fixed. But we don't do that. You know what we do? We rather hold on to our own ideas, our own prejudice, our own preconceptions. And you know where people have been affected in this area because of the past commitment? You know, some people hear the word commitment, they think that's a bad word. And you know how they justify and rationalize that? Because they were committed to so-and-so and gave of their life and of their finances and of everything else to so-and-so ministry or so-and-so minister or so-and-so, and they got abused. So you know what people do? To protect themselves, they don't get committed anymore. Now, they think that's right, but it's not right. It's not right. Because if so-and-so is doing their best to represent God, it's not the person you're not committing to, it's God you're not committing to. And then everybody's going to turn around. People say, oh, I follow God. I don't follow any man. Or I say, okay, how's that work for you too? I mean, no one's telling you to drink the Kool-Aid. Don't be silly. Okay? But people have really been damaged in commitment. I talked to Chuck the other day, or Carm, or somebody. I said, what do you think we would say to people today if we told them we want 3 days out of their life, and I want you to spend 33 hours, and we want to teach you a class on the Bible? You know what most people would say? You know what most born again people would say? No. No. Why was it that at a time when we were just as busy as we are now, we made a decision and we made a commitment? You see? And the adversary has taken that, and he's taken all those bad memories, he's taken all those bad leaders, he's taken all those bad programs, and he's using that against us. And seldom do we think of the good memories and the good programs and the good leaders. You see? And we get this stuff inside. It's in our minds. It's in our hearts. And then in the future, talking about right now, when we could be doing and moving and whatever, you know what? We don't do it. We don't do it. People love to give me things. And I appreciate different literature and stuff that I get. But they never give me something as a gift to bless. They always give me something as something that I need to learn. Okay? Whether it's a CD or a book. I get a lot of books. I get a lot of, you can learn from this or you can learn. But never once do people turn around and give the book, the author of the book or the author of the CD, anything back. See, their excuse to me is, oh yeah, well when I hear him teach about the Trinity or whatever, I just like, or when I hear him talking about his mother was up in heaven talking, giving him God, I just, they make all kinds of excuses for those kind of ministers. Okay? But me, they never say that. They always say, you could learn this, or why don't you listen to this, or, which is good. But I often wonder, have you ever taken such and such and given it to the author of such and such? They wouldn't dare think of doing that. Why is that? Why would they, in that context, okay, and if a shoe fits, fine. If not, I'm not trying to make it fit. But why in that context would you dare give me something and not give it to the same guy at the same lectern? Why would you disrespect me and not disrespect him? Because that's what it boils down to. Because if you want to help me, give me something, you want to help him, give him something. How long do you think you would last in that church if you took the book, Jesus Christ is Not God, and said, hey, I really think you should read this because I think you could learn something from it? How long? How long do you think you could last if you took the book, The Dead Are Not Alive Now, and said, I really think you should learn, you could learn something, just to bless you? They never do that. They never do that. But they're real quick to give me something. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for things that you have given me. Jimmy has given me a class. That's how we met Reverend Ken Petty and invited him up here. So don't make this something that it's not to you, okay? I'm blessed for that. I'm talking about people who go places, who listen to wrong teachings, and they know it's wrong. Places that don't have manifestations, places that believe that Jesus Christ, places that believe that it, all these things, and yet they wave their hand like this and say, oh, isn't this so great? But if I misquote a scripture, or if I present a different view of a scripture, they're real quick to jump on me. But they want, let's be fair, if we're going to be consistent, be consistent. Go up to the preacher of the church of 5,000 or 500 people after he teaches, as soon as he's done, and say, can I have a moment of your time? Why do people not do that? Does anybody have an answer for that? Yeah. But with Nick, it's not fear. It's fear, but it's disrespect. You see? Because with Nick, Nick's just Nick, so you think. But let me tell you something. If Nick has been called and Nick is operating in a ministry, you got bigger problems than Nick. Okay, because you're not disrespecting me, you're disrespecting God. And I didn't expect this to go this way, but I guess that's the way God wants it. And I'm not being mean, I'm just being straight. I'd be willing to listen to anybody and anything. But let's be fair. Take Are the Dead Alive Now, or take so-and-so. Or go up to someone and say, hey, how come you guys don't have manifestations? Not everybody's been given the gift of tongues. That's what they say. You know that's what they say. And you say, oh, okay. And then you come back and you tell me how great everything is. Something is wrong somewhere. Not that we got the corner on truth. Not that we are the great know-it-all and the great I am. No, that's not it. But do yourself a favor. If you're going to treat me one way, go treat so-and-so another way. I had a girl used to come to this fellowship. Oh, it's wonderful, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. Oh, I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm going. You know what that girl's doing now? I think she's a lesbian, quite honestly. She's doing nothing. Because she wouldn't dare confront the preacher and say what I'm sharing with you, but she had no problem confronting me about stupid things. Not even, just stupid things. Look, I'm just simply trying to do my best. And I am just simply trying to fulfill my commitment and my vow that I made to God. If you don't like me, or you don't think I'm teaching the word accurately, or if you can't be a part of supporting me and moving with me, find another church. Be honest. But you know what's going to happen? You're going to find out that you ain't going to like that guy either, and you ain't going to like his teachings either. The world be perfect if it weren't for the people. Okay? Christians are supposed to love one another. We're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to encourage one another. We're not just supposed to sit there, I'm going to critique him, and I'm going to critique him. That's not a ministry. That's stupidity. I'll be the first to tell you I'm not perfect. But I'm faithful, and I do try to help people. So as we grow and we move along, I like to do that. Why'd you bring that up? We have set many people free who have decided that they were tired of the lies, tired of the fears, tired of the hypocrisies, tired of the torment that they live silently with many on a daily basis. Others, because of fear and pride, choose to pretend that there's nothing wrong and they continue to live the less than abundant life. If you feel that you are in help or you need help in this area, you come see me and Kim. And we'll be glad to help you in this area. Please go to Psalm 30. We'll close there. And I'm not axing nobody or no ministry or no nothing. And I appreciate a genuine encouragement and genuine biblical godly knowledge from anybody. I'm not talking about that. Just be honest. Encourage everybody. Why should you just save your encouragement for me? Do me a favor. Help encourage the other preachers too. Psalm 30, verse 5, last end of the verse. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh what?
In the morning.
You know, everybody's got a bad day. A bad week, a bad year. We all made mistakes. But you know, Bible says it may endure for a night. But you know what? You got the morning. You got the sun's going to rise again. And joy's going to be there. So just stay with it. Push through. We'll help you. We'll love you. We got wonderful people here to help you and love you. And together we'll get through this thing. This life was meant for us to get through it together. Not alone. Even Jesus had 12, you know. You could argue that, but even he had 12, right? So we're made to be pack, you know. They say wolves are pack animals. They travel. That's the way we're made. We're made to love each other and help each other. See, and I encourage your love, and I encourage your questions, and I encourage your knowledge, and your CDs and whatever, okay? But be honest and be fair. Make sure you're doing it both ways. Send Reverend Prince the book, Are the Dead Alive Now? Or whatever. And see how far you get with that.